Iowa football is near and dear to my heart, just as it is for so many people across this great nation. In my time since being a part of the Iowa community, I've had the chance to meet and get to know so many great men that have worn the black and gold and share in my love for this team. The fact of the matter is that I bleed black and gold, and I'm bringing to you the stories of the men that have the same blood coursing through their veins. I'm Colin Cole, and this is Legends of Kinnick.
Welcome back, Hawk fans, to another episode of Legends of Kinnick. I'm your host, Colin Cole, and I have the opportunity to interview another great legend. You know, again, this has just been great to always have these guys come on and talk about their experiences from all walks of life, from all parts of the country that have just blossomed and had an opportunity to don the black and gold, have had experiences, good, bad, and impartial, all that good stuff. And I'm going to share a little bit about that with you today. And so with that, we're going to jump right into it. My guest today hails from Buffalo Grove, Illinois, where he helped his Stevenson High School Patriots football team earn three straight trips to the state playoffs. He was also team captain as a senior, rushed for 153 carries for 1,657 yards and 22 touchdowns, and that was as a senior. Not to mention 182 carries for 1,149 yards and 16 tugs as a junior. He earned first-team All-State, All-Area, and All-Conference honors as a senior, not to mention All-County and All-Area, as well as All-Conference honors as a junior. My guest chose the Air Force coming out of high school, Air Force Academy, with the interest of doing both armed forces as well as pursuing his athletic dreams with the Falcons. After a short stint there, he made the decision to leave and walk on at Iowa. So, his career started as a seventh-string walk-on fullback. That ended with him walking away from Iowa as the seventh all-time leading rusher with 2,602 yards, tied for ninth all-time for yards in a game with 217 versus Central Michigan back in 2012, third all-time at Iowa in touchdowns with 32, only behind Tavian Banks and Cedric Shaw, third in single-season touchdowns with 16, only behind Sean Green and Tavian Banks, fourth in career attempts, sixth in career rushing yards, 10th in career scoring at 198 points. He became first Iowa player to score six touchdowns in consecutive games under Coach Kirk Ferentz, also named to Coach Ferentz's 2014 and 2013 leadership groups as a junior and senior, respectively. Whew, that's a mouthful. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show my man, Mark Weissman.
Hey, Colin, thanks for having me on. That's a heck of an introduction. I don't know if I could follow that up.
Hey, Mark, you know what, man? There's nothing to follow up but what the story is about, man, and that's you. All of what I just talked about, I didn't pull it out of the air. It's all facts about Mark Weissman, man, and honestly, you know, a tremendous career at the University of Iowa. And honestly, what's wild about it is I don't know if you or anybody else foresaw this coming, man, but how did it happen, bro? Tell us a little bit about Mark Weissman. You know, the story has been a little bit publicized. I won't say a little bit. It was publicized quite a bit when you were in college, but tell us a little bit about Mark Weissman and how you ended up at Iowa and how you had such a stellar career.
Yeah, so I'll start, I guess, in high school. Didn't get recruited all that much. Had a couple walk-on offers, and then Air Force came along, and it really fit. I thought that's exactly what I wanted to do. I could go there and play fullback. The fullback actually touched the ball there. It's a dying breed, so there weren't too many left. So Decided to go to the Air Force Academy. Was there for boot camp, a semester, and then it wasn't for me. Not everything all at once. It just wasn't like I wasn't ready to give up my football dreams at that point. You didn't have to give them up, but boot camp, you lose 20-30 pounds as a football player.
Yeah.
Then the next year after, if you make it through the next year, you have combat survival, which I didn't get to. That's the next summer. So you lose another 20 some pounds. So really until your junior year, you really can't like focus any sorts on football.
Wow.
By any means. And
yeah.
So my hat's off to any guy that gets through there, through the program and succeeds as an athlete. It's hard to do. So decided that wasn't for me and kind of just left there, not really having a place to go. Luckily, a couple of my high school football coaches had some connections back at Iowa. And long story short, I begged my way basically to get there, and they told me I can come try and walk on in the spring. So I'm like, yeah, hands down, yep, I'm ready to go. Like, all I want is an opportunity. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
From there, just I sat out 2011. Not that I was going to play by any means anyway, but because of the transfer. So did my time on scout team in the weight room, just tried to get noticed any way possible, work as hard as possible, be a good teammate and all that. And then the next spring ball was like the time to go. I guess during bull prep too, bull prep and spring ball, like, okay, like I got to try and prove myself to like earn a spot on this team. Otherwise I'm gonna get kicked off. So I went in as whatever string fullback, 7th, 8th, 6th, who knows what it is, but like kind of came out 2nd or 3rd at the end of spring. Then another injury happened during camp. So the starting fullback was out. So I got my opportunity there and kind of ran with it. There were a million injuries with the running back, as everyone knows, with Iowa. And we had guys leave, get kicked out, were injured, whatever it might be. So even during camp, like I wasn't going to be a running back, but I had to run 2nd and 3rd team running back while running 1st team fullback just to get through practices because we didn't have enough running backs. So
Wow. That
kind of started, like I knew what I was supposed to do as a running back. So like I was ready, prepared no matter what. That point then, but I didn't have I didn't foresee anything coming. I'm like, oh, okay, I know the position, but I'm never going to play running back. I'll be a fullback and do my time there, which I love to do. Probably the most sacrificial position that there is.
Mm-hmm. No question.
So 2012 season starts and I'm fullback at that point. Starting fullback because all the fullbacks still out. Brad Rogers, who was a starter at that time. So I was still playing. First game was actually at Soldier Field, so I'm a huge Bears fan, so that was pretty cool that my first game was at, like, my Field of Dreams. It was pretty cool there.
Yeah.
And then Northern Iowa, whatever game that was, 3rd, maybe 4th, I don't know when it is, but one of the running backs is out sick. So we only have two running backs dressed for that game. So one goes down with a concussion. Second one goes down, separated shoulder. And there's no one left. Like, no one wanted me to go in that game. I guarantee you that. They could ask any coach. I bet that, no. Like, he's going in. Oh, shit, we're screwed. but I was ready. I was prepared for it. I had practiced it before. And, like, it was my duty to my teammates to not let them down more than anything. So that's what gets you through that. And then you take advantage of an opportunity. And that's kind of how the running back dream started there. And then just shared the duties with great players alongside me, like Canzeri, Bullock, Wadley, Daniels, those guys. So, but that's how it started, kind of from the Air Force to 2012, getting started. And then from there, it was just a dream. That's how I can describe it.
Man, you named a couple of stellar running backs, some guys that I've had on the show as well. In Canzeri and Akron Wadley. And, you know, that's obviously a loaded backfield, a loaded running back room, man. What was that relationship like for you guys? And how was that, how did that help propel that team and those teams that you guys were a part of? Because you were part of some very strong teams.
Yeah, I think it made us all better. We were all friends, and unless they said something different on the show, they didn't. I listened to it. But we were friends, but we were all competitive, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be at the University of Iowa and not be competitive. Otherwise, you're going to be out of there real fast.
Absolutely.
So we were all competitive. We all wanted to play, but we all wanted the best for each other. Mm-hmm. So it pushed us in a good way. Like, everyone has to be a little selfish, but I would say, like, we had a really selfless room. And then with guys like Wadley, who were a little bit younger than Jordan and I, and LaShawn Daniels, who were a little bit younger at the time, we just wanted to be good mentors for them and set the example, show them the Iowa way and how to do things.
Well, I will say that Kanzeri definitely spoke very highly of you and had nothing but good things to say. And he said that on air. So I will put that out there. So you make sure I put that out there. Yeah, man. So, but tell us a little bit about those games, man. You know, I know the you know, you put up some remarkable numbers in some of those games. You did. I believe it was that Central Michigan game. I think that you had 217 yards on 27 carries. That was a huge game. Do any games come to mind, or do you have any thoughts, anything that comes to mind when you think back on your time there that comes to mind immediately? Like, man, you know, I can't believe I did that, or you know, those types of things.
I don't know. Like, we lost that game actually, so that was a terrible game. But no, it's like with games like that, like it's because the offensive line's rolling and like they're opening up holes, getting me to the second level. Because I'm not gonna make too many people miss. I'll try and run you over, but I'm not gonna make too many people miss or outrun people.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if we're talking games in general, like forget about like I could care less about stats, and a lot of guys on the team do or don't. But like. In 2013, we're 6-4, and everyone's like, oh, like, because after 12, we were 4-8. Mm-hmm. So 2013, we're 6-4. We have Michigan, Nebraska left. Everyone's like, oh, good. We'll get back to a bowl game and be 6-6. And us as a room are like, hell, like, as a team, we're like, no way. Like, we're going to go out and win both the games. So like, Michigan, we started out, I think we threw a pick six right away. We get down 7-0, but no panic, nothing. Maybe 2012, maybe we would have. But no panic, nothing. Par for the course. Like, we know what we're gonna do. We're ready to go. I remember we're backed up in our end zone, and the fullback Adam Cox, who was one of my roommates, made a big time block. We had to get out of it because otherwise we're stuck in, and then we're gonna be punting from the end zone. Mm. He makes a big time block. My elbow was all screwed up from a couple games before, but it was clearly good then because I remember like. He opened the hole. I had to make one safety miss, stiff arm the safety. We had a big game then, got out of the end zone. So I remember that play. And then I remember we scored a touchdown, take the lead. And then Anthony Hitchens literally rips the ball from the quarterback to finish that game off. We go 7-4 there, go to Nebraska. And that's so fun, beating their ass there because. Like there's comments there, like whether I'm paraphrasing because I'll take more offense to it. But like, they're basically like, oh, it's no rivalry with Iowa. They can sit at the little kids' table.
Oh,
at Thanksgiving. Ooh. There's something along those lines. It wasn't those specific words, but I'm gonna say it was those words. So it was something along those lines. So that was the first time we beat them, and then the rest is kind of history. With that, it really hasn't been a rivalry since because Iowa's pretty much taken everything else except 2014 when we lost to
them. You make a strong point there. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I would say that most times the average individual will remember those games when they're like, you know, I can remember I was in the zone. I can remember coach called this play, and I can just remember, you know, I can remember hearing my footsteps running down the sideline. It's interesting you have a specific play coming out of the end zone that's not really a significant play in the grand scheme of things, but a huge win in the grand scheme of that season and getting you guys into that bowl game and keeping the momentum going for that bowl game. It's interesting, man. So let me ask you this, man. You had obviously 4 or 5 great years in Iowa City playing for the Hawks as well as being a student athlete there. A great academic record while you were there, man. Tell me a little bit about people who you felt like were mentors for you, and tell me a little bit about some of the relationships that you built while you were a Hawkeye.
Yeah, I think there's so many coaches that have had such a great impact on my life there, especially at Iowa. I had 2 running back coaches in my room. I love both of them. They did a lot of good for me, made me a better player. Offensive coordinators, Coach Greg Davis and Coach O'Keefe, like great guys. Really taught me a lot about football, but like if we're talking like mentor to this day, and like whether he knows it or not, but it's Coach Kirk Ferentz. Like, he's the most consistent person I've ever met. True leader. Like, you talk about leadership. Like, when shit hits the fan and like bad things are happening, like that's when a true leader's true colors come out. And Coach Kirk Ferentz is steady, consistent, no matter what. He's the same person. No matter if it's we're up by 50, down by 50, he's the same and he's going to act the same. And he lives by his words. His actions are aligned with his words, which is the true sentiment of a leader. And I got to look up to him. I think he's my true role model. So he's impacted my life more than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I would say that you have chosen a very good, strong role model and mentor, a man who's mentored many, many, many young men over his 20 plus illustrious years at the helm of the Hawkeye football program. So, yeah, I think you were right on with that, man. Let me ask you, man, talk a little bit about Kirk and talk a little bit about your time as a player. When you get a chance, and you got a chance after playing there, you got a chance to be a part of the strength and conditioning staff for a while. What is some of your favorite memories, and what are some of your favorite places in Iowa City? Now that you're back in Illinois and you're doing some different things there, what are some of the places that you remember most about Iowa City, and what are your favorite places when you get back?
Yeah, so Iowa City, so. But as a player and as a coach, it's different because as a player, we didn't get to eat anything. Like, nothing was catered in. Like, you know, Hillcrest food.
That's right. That's
where we're eating the whole
time. That's right.
But as a coach, catering in, they had the best of the best. They had Chop House, Basta, Gray's. You can't forget Gray's. They're phenomenal. They're always catering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. But if I'm coming back, I got to get to, like, if I'm going to get a burger, I got to get to Stella for a burger out there. And then if we're talking more fancy restaurants, there's two. If I'm going on a date or going out with my family, Chop House is one. I love Chop House. And then there's a place called Orchard Green, and it's phenomenal food. It's pricey, but it's phenomenal food. So if I'm back now, yes, I'm probably gonna go there because I'm only gonna be back a certain amount of time. So that's a place I definitely go.
I got you. I got to try some of those places out. I love Grace. I love that place. Who made the longest lasting impression on you while you were in Iowa City?
Oof. So besides Coach Ferentz, I won't double dip there.
All right.
I'm going to go with two people from 2011 and 12. One of them was there in 12. So leaders who when I get there, I'm a fly on a wall. I just want to listen and learn from the guys who are leaders on the team in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike Daniels and James Ferentz were two of those guys that are these guys are intense. They live the Iowa way. How you do anything is how you do everything. That's how those guys lived. Mike was the most intense guy I ever met. And in a great way. Is intense as can be. I remember we had Shell's Thursday practice. There's no tackling or anything like that, but I know better. As the scout team running back, Mike's gonna tackle my ass and hit me. So I'm ready to go. I have some layers on underneath.
Okay. Yes.
But those two guys, they're the Iowa way.
And
they showed me how to be a Hawkeye and showed me how to be a leader for when my time was to come to be a leader on the team. So those two guys left a lasting impression on me.
I got you. Mike Daniels, my conversations with him, I see what you're talking about. I see what you mean. It's a good thing. And you need those kinds of vocal outward leaders that will show by example and speak and walk the walk as well as talk the talk, you know? So it's good that you have those kinds of guys that were there that you could definitely pull off of. We talked a little bit about that Michigan game coming off the goal line, man. What is your proudest moment as a Hawkeye?
Hands down, being voted a two-time captain by my peers, by the teammates. So I don't think there's a higher honor, in my opinion, in sport or anything, is being voted captain by your teammates. That just shows you how they think of you and shows that all the things that you do are for a reason for them. Mm-hmm. And they see that in you. So that's hands down by far more important than wins, losses, anything like that to me is being voted captain by my teammates.
That's awesome. I mean, it does speak to the leadership that you expressed. I mean, not to mention you were on the leadership committee both your junior and senior year. So, man, you definitely showed that speaks of who you are and the character of man that you are, that you've exemplified while being a Hawkeye and since. So, speaking of that, and I mentioned a little bit about you being a part of coaching staff. When you left, man, you got done, you went off and played a little bit in the NFL. You were part of the Bengals franchise. What are you doing now? What have you done since leaving Kinnick, leaving after your senior year?
Yeah, so I had a short stint with the Bengals training camp preseason. Was done after that. Then got into medical sales, because that's what a lot of athletes did. I actually had a couple friends that weren't athletes that were in it too. So I'm like, oh, like I should try this out. Found out real fast that I kind of wanted to get back in the sports world. I went to school to be like a strength coach and kinesiology. So talked with the strength coach at Iowa then, like how do I get in? How do I get in? Like, and him and Coach Ferentz gave me the opportunity to intern there. Even though I knew a lot of the guys on the team still, so gave me the opportunity there. One of the coaches moved on to be a head coach, strength coach somewhere else, so a job opened up at Iowa, so I kind of stayed there and was there for 4 years.
Nice.
Before going to Southeast Missouri State as the director of strength and conditioning last year.
Okay.
And then I was there for a year, and then through all the COVID and everything, I kind of realized it's time for me to move back home. So now that's kind of where I've been. I've been transitioning that way the last 3 months or so, 2-3 months. Been transitioning back to home. I'm a performance coach at a performance gym out here right now, and I really enjoy it. I'm just, any way I can do to give back and help out others is what I want to do, and I'm going to be an assistant coach on the football team at Stevenson High School, so I'll scratch my itch of coaching football. So it'll be good. Get the best of both. Let's be with family too. So it's good.
No question. I mean, to be able to give back, I mean, to your own community, especially where you grew up, and that the young men and women in that area will benefit greatly from having Mark Weissman be in that area. I mean, there's no question. The work ethic and energy that you bring to your everyday performance and everyday attitude. I mean, I've seen nothing less, man. So I know they're going to do nothing but get the best out of you, buddy. So let me ask you this. So we're at this point now, obviously, and we're 2021. There has been quite a bit of change. We're past quite a bit in terms of where the COVID has started. We got through a season of football, thankfully. We got through a season of football. Man, what do you think is going to happen next, man? What do you foresee next year or the next 5 years? What do you see for yourself, for the Hawkeye program? What do you think?
No, I think the word I'll use is opportunity. I think that's the big thing. I think there's always an opportunity coming. I think I learned that from my time playing at Iowa and everywhere else, that an opportunity is always going to come. Mm-hmm. It's, are you ready for that opportunity? So I think moving into the future for the Hawkeyes, I think there's an enormous opportunity out of them. And I think it's in the right hands with Coach Ferentz and the coaching staff right now. And from everything I've heard from players there right now, like everything is going in the right direction. And clearly we saw that this year after starting 0-2 and winning 6 straight. And I wish we could have seen a couple more games there, because I don't know who was going to beat the Hawkeyes at that point.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think it's opportunity. For myself personally too, opportunity. It's always going to come. But am I ready? Are we ready? And I know 2020, like people talk 2020, like it's a terrible year and COVID and everything. But I think we could all learn from it. That anything could be taken away at any time, no matter what, and everything's not going to go our way, and crazy things are going to happen. So we have to be ready for the opportunity and overcome adversity. So I think 2021 and beyond is, it's 2020 set us up for a great future ahead of us.
Absolutely. Yeah, spoken very well. Spoken very well, Mark. I really appreciate that, man. That was a tough question. I mean, before we wrap up, before you get back to training and all that good stuff, let me ask you this last question. Who would you give the credit of your success to? You've had a winding road to get to where you are, especially early on. Who do you give that credit to? Who do you feel like was most helpful for you and helped you through that to get to that success?
Oh, that's easy. That's my support system. That's mom and dad. They taught me everything from an early age, how to act, how to be humble, how to work hard, how to overcome adversity, how everything is earned and nothing is given, no matter what. And when you do well, you be humble about it. You give credit to other people because they're the reason why you're doing well and why you're succeeding. So that's it. My support system, my family, my friends. I've had a great support system. I'm extremely fortunate. So that's where all my success and that's where all the credit goes is to them.
I hear you, bro. Thank you to Eileen and Larry Weissman. You guys did an awesome job in raising a great young man in Mark. And really appreciate you sharing him with Hawkeye Nation. And he's been a great, Mark, you've been an amazing, not just back, but young man as man, and has been an amazing mentor yourself for the program. And with that, Mark, you are off the hot seat, my friend. I appreciate having you on the show, man. I can't believe that, it's gone by so quickly. You're awesome, bro.
No, I appreciate it, Kyle. I appreciate everything you do with the podcast and what you do for the Hawkeye program. When I was a coach there, you came back a couple times and spoke to the team, and I always remember that. And I know a lot of the guys on the team did too, and you do an amazing job. And now you're sharing all these stories with Hawkeye Nation, and keep up the great work. And I really appreciate you, Colin.
I appreciate that, brother. I do. Ultimately, I think that we all understand that this is a family, ultimately. And, you know, when you go there, you got your head down and you're grinding through it, and you know you can't wait to get out. Some of us can't wait till it's over, but then you look back on it and it feels like with a blink of an eye it went by too quickly. So I'm glad that I got an opportunity to get to know men like yourself over the years, especially having been gone for so long. But it makes me just that much more happy to be able to sustain these kinds of friendships and relationships and bring these stories to not just have the opportunity to relive some of these stories through you guys and yourself and the other gentlemen that I've had on the show, but also with Hawkeye Nation, you know, who doesn't really know all these little ins and outs, man. So it's awesome to be able to do that for everybody, and you know, I'm enjoying it, and we're gonna keep it going.
That's great, Colin. Appreciate you, man.
All right, brother. You take care of yourself, and go Hawks.
All right, go Hawks.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Legends of Kinnick. You can stream or download the show on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, among others. I'm Colin Cole. Go follow Legends of Kinnick on all social media platforms. Take care and go Hawks!